It's time to bring the rain.
Zinc Media. Feel the power of knowledge.
Yes, it is I, your lovable host, Elrod, coming to you live from the Bunkerized Studio, located somewhere in the great granite state of New Hampshire, here on this Tuesday, July number 17 in the year of our Lord, 2018, as we kick off hour number two here. Yeah, we're a little bit off schedule, but we're doing a full 3 hours this morning. And this is hour number two, the start of said hour number two. You know, we got... To continue with this stupid narrative from the left that has Putin chuckling, we've got Mitt Romney out there in Utah. Did anybody see this? Mitt Romney is Trump siding with Putin over American intelligence was disgraceful. Why was it disgraceful when it's already proven that so-called American intelligence isn't very intelligent because it's pointing out the fact that it was the Democrats that have the issue and not Trump and not the Republicans? And by the way, Romney's still an anti-Trumper. Thank you, Utah. We all knew that Romney was going to get the nomination. It was impossible for him not to. I mean, he made the right move. I don't even know why the hell he was in Massachusetts, to tell you the truth. He was governor of the state of Massachusetts. Then he wanted to be senator. He couldn't beat the line of the Senate, Democrat line of the Senate, Ted Kennedy. He almost did, but he didn't quite pull it off. And then he was a two-time loser, kind of like Hillary when it came to the Hillary's the Republican Party, Mitt Romney's the Republican Party's Hillary. Can I point out that? Well, I mean, the first time he ran, he got railroaded by. It was the same, but they didn't rig it. But it was the same damn thing. Anybody notice the similarity here? You had John McCain. It was John McCain's turn. It's my turn. My turn. So John McCain, sort of without rigging the actual election like they did on the Democrat side, John McCain got the media a little bit on his side for the Republicans. But it was John McCain's turn. So Mitt Romney lost out to John McCain. Kind of like Hillary, it was Barack Obama's turn. Even though Hillary thought it was her turn, it was Barack Obama's turn. Because he was more historic happening than Hillary would have been. So she lost out to Barack. Same time. And then Romney gets his second chance. Hillary had to wait because, it was Barack still in office. So Romney gets his second chance. He gets the nomination, secures it, and then proceeds, just like Hillary, he proceeds to actually throw away the election. Look, Hillary lost because of Hillary. Romney lost because of Romney. Both of them could have won. Believe it. Hillary Clinton could have won. She really could have. It's amazing and how scary how close she actually did come to winning. But if she wasn't so arrogant and thinking that, oh, this is mine, she would have won. Now, was Romney so arrogant? No, but if Romney wasn't so pathetic towards conservative and so apathetic towards conservative beliefs, he would have won too. He couldn't be brave enough to stand up on conservative principles. After all, he's supposed to be a Mormon, right? So Romney loses it. Barack Obama didn't beat him. Well, there is a difference. Barack Obama didn't beat Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney lost the election. Now, even though Hillary Clinton, if she would have put in some legwork, and she couldn't do it because of her health, she could have won. No guarantee that she would have if she actually did the work that she really needed to do. There's no guarantee, which is why Donald Trump just outworked her. Donald Trump won. Mitt Romney lost. There's a difference. Barack Obama didn't win. Donald Trump won. Between Obama and Romney, Romney lost. And then he just decides, well, you know what? I'm going to move to Utah. And I'm going to be, I couldn't be senator in Massachusetts, so I'm going to be senator over here in Utah. I don't know if he thinks that that's going to be a leapfrog to him finally getting into the White House or not. But for whatever reason, he wants to be in D.C. So the man is already worth a bazillion dollars. What's he need to be in D.C. for? He doesn't need to make any more money. I mean, for whatever reason, he wants to be in D.C. I don't know why. I don't know who that. There's something wrong with people mentally if they want to be in that swamp. Well, hey, it's not about the money. It's about the power, right? It's always about the power. Because you can have money without power. But if you have power, you can always get the money. But money doesn't always equate power, by the way. I mean, people don't understand this whole power-money struggle thing. There are a lot of wealthy people that don't have a whole hell of a lot of power. And there are a lot of really wealthy people that don't have a whole hell of a lot of power. But people that have a lot of power, they may not be rich on the outside. From what you see, they may not be financially, but they get whatever they damn well want. So they don't need to have the money because they will always get it when they need it. That's what power does for you. You know, you don't have to be worth, you know, $1 billion in order to live the lifestyle of a billionaire if you have power. If you have political and business power, you don't need to be rich yourself because all the other rich people around you will be more than happy to support you as long as you have power. So I don't know what Romney's game is because he's already got the money other than he wants the power now. And that power is centered in Washington, D.C. Because nobody outside. Romney is not a. He's kind of like, you know, for the Demo, he's the Republicans' version of Mario Cuomo. I'm sorry, but Mitt Romney is. You know, people in New York, oh, we love Mario. Yeah, and Mario started to believe that everybody else on the planet would love him too if he decided to run for president. Mario quickly found out that wasn't the case. He wasn't liked very much. West of the Mississippi, and he wasn't like very much south of the Mason-Dixon line. He was a northeastern kind of guy, and even here in New England, half of New England didn't like him. There went his presidential hopes. But Romney's the same way. You know, he's this, I'm a middle-of-the-road kind of guy that everybody's going to like, and it turned out everybody didn't like him. Not everybody in his own party likes him. And the only reason that he probably got the nomination is because everybody stepped aside and says, well, you know, he's kind of like Hillary. It's Romney's turn. And then when we finally decided to stop this, well, whose turn is it type of crap? And we get a guy who actually worked his ass off. Well, he won. Look at that. And he's still working his ass off. And yet, we got all these people running around, you know, talking about how he's uncouth, how he's a racist, how he's this, how he's that. He's just, yeah, no. That's not who he is. But Romney is now saying that the president's decision to side with Putin over American intelligence agencies is disgraceful and detrimental to our democratic principles. Russia remains our number one geopolitical adversary. Actually, Mitt, as I have just stated, they are not. Our number one geological adversary is China. Come on. How is this escaping people's logic? They're the world's most populous nation that is not a free society. They're still communist. They have influence and refuse to use that influence many times on their puppets like North Korea. They threaten one of our allies called Taiwan. They threaten another ally called Japan. They're even threatening one of their own former allies called Vietnam in the South China Sea. They have the world's second largest economy, and they're trying to wield that economic power by manipulating their currency. Remember that when the Chinese were doing that they were, everybody was calling China out for it? But Mitt Romney seems to think that the has-been country of Russia is our number one geopolitical adversary. China is all over the world, including the Middle East and Africa. Russia is not. Let's be real here. The up-and-coming military power is not... Now, don't get me wrong. Russia is not a pushover. But the up-and-coming military power that is coming along with technological leaps and advances by leaps and bounds is China. We can't take our eye off of Putin and Russia for sure, but our eye needs to be fixed on China. And Romney seems to think, China's nothing. It's Putin. Why? Because our leftist media says so? Since when do they control policy? The rest of the planet isn't paying attention to... The only American lamestream media outlet that gets any kind of worldwide attention is CNN. And they're quickly losing their grip. There are... Now... Evidently, there are airports, at least in this country, that are starting to drop CNN. Now, and there are international airports, I understand. I think Germany one of the German airports is dropping CNN. Was it Germany? Did I hear that? It was a European airport, a major European. I think it was the German airport. I could have it. Maybe it was Dutch or something. But a major European airport is dumping CNN. It's the beginning of the end for them. It's going to take a while, but it's the beginning of the end. And unless they change their anti-democrat, anti-freedom ways and start actually just reporting the news and telling the truth, it's the end for CNN. Because, you know, we've often wondered how the hell do they stay on the stay broadcasting. Well, CNN International is how they keep themselves afloat, I guess, but... Romney seems... You want to talk about out of touch? And remember, these leftists are people that think, well, you don't talk to your enemies because that legitimizes them. So you keep them as adversaries. And I guess you just keep the arms race going on and 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 on, even though they don't like military. So you know how you bring our military home? You know how you cut the military defense budget in this country? By eliminating competition to the United States. By eliminating our enemies. And making everybody more friendly. That's how you reduce our defense budget. And it's a hell of a lot cheaper to convince a lot of these other countries to be more cooperative and friendly than it is to build up our military to be able to strike their military down. But yet every time a Republican tries to do that, oh, you can't legitimize them. Really, so we can't legitimize North Korea, but even by doing so, it means that we no longer have to have our military floating around up there, you know, our Navy. We don't got to have an aircraft carrier in the area. So we're going to save some money by not having, you know, war games with South Korea and things like that, because, you know, North Korea is not going to be a trouble anymore. We don't have to spend so much money trying to be the offensive weapon for Japan, because they don't need, you know, all we got to do is concentrate on China. Don't have to worry about the North Koreans. So we're going to say, you know, it's going to be a peace. Remember the peace dividend when the Soviet Union fell apart? Oh, we got all this money now because we don't got to defend any. Because our great enemy was gone. Remember that? And all of a sudden, these stupid liberals who tried to take advantage of the so-called peace dividend back in the 90s, when the Soviet Union fell apart, now they've sort of forgotten that. Oh, if you get our enemies to stand down, then we don't got to spend so much money on our military. They've forgotten that. They're actively working against it. I never thought I'd see this. But this is what this Trump derangement syndrome, it is a full-blown mental disorder, folks. This Trump derangement syndrome is a full-blown disorder because none of it makes any sense, and it's not just liberals who have it. Obviously, Mitt Romney posting a tweet talking about how bad it is for Trump to open his arms and hand to Putin, because they're our number one geopolitical adversary, when they're not, is just proof. What did Barack Obama do? At least Trump is not saying, hey, Vlad, you know, when I get reelected, I'll have more leeway to do what I want to do with you. Well, that's what Obama did. Putin didn't have anything to do with our intelligence services or infecting our election. And by the way, that is what the internals are really saying. The Russians didn't hack our elections. The internals from these so-called intelligence places are telling us that it wasn't the Russians that did anything to try to influence other than use Facebook and Twitter ads. I mean, this is ridiculous. And Romney's falling right into it. Why? Because he's an anti-Trumper. He's got Trump derangement syndrome himself. Why? Because Trump is president and he's not. Trump won and Romney didn't. Might I remind good old Mitt that Trump not only won the nomination fair and square, but he beat out 17 other candidates. You know, twice as many candidates as you did. And some of them were good, solid candidates where you didn't have a lot of... I mean, who did Trump have to beat? He had to beat a Bush. Romney didn't. He had to beat a Ted Cruz. Strong candidate. Romney didn't have to beat a Ted Cruz. Yeah, and he had to beat out probably another good four or five strong Republican candidates. Romney didn't have that kind of competition. And when he did have competition, you know, like John McCain, he couldn't win. So Romney's a little jealous. He's a little jelly in my book when it comes to this. And look, I lived in a state that bordered his when he was the governor. He wasn't a bad governor, but he was a governor for Massachusetts. He was not one of my favorites. He was a moderate when he was down there because, after all, you know, conservative in Massachusetts, they probably couldn't get elected, let alone get anything done. So when people were telling me that Romney's a conservative, I'm like, no, look, he was governor of a state that I boarded for 4 years. He's not a conservative. But he's a Mormon. I don't care. He'd be a Southern Baptist for all I care. He's still not a conservative. And now he's a moderate with Trump derangement syndrome. And he's going to be the next senator from the state of Utah. Yeah, well, it is what it is, folks. And you know, we have this sort of, trust me, Putin is not an idiot. He's looking at the entire political landscape in this country, and he's probably the. Another reason why he's laughing his ass off is because he didn't even really have to do anything to create such turmoil, politically speaking, within this country. Putin isn't doing a damn thing. Oh, hey, you know, we're going to put up a few ads on Facebook that a few million people are going to see. Not the vast majority of American voters, just a few million of them. They'll see it. No big deal. Probably won't. 99.9% of them won't have their vote changed whatsoever by any of these ads, but we'll just put those ads out there. And now all of a sudden those ads are the centerpiece of Russian collusion, of interfering and hacking our election. And Putin is just going on 2 years later now almost. And y'all are still talking about this? No wonder he's laughing his ass off. Hey, look, you want to disrupt the American political process? Just throw up a couple of Facebook ads and watch them all go running for the hills. And this is the most ridiculous. I'm sorry. I shouldn't be laughing about this because this is us. This is completely and totally. You got Romney out there. You got Romney out there who's now jumping on board this whole anti-Trump train. He always was, but now that he's got a mouthpiece, you know, and he doesn't fear any reprisals because, hey, you know, he won the nomination out there for a senatorial race in the Republican side by Atlanta. What did he get, like over 70% of the vote? He doesn't have to fear any reprisals. He's most likely going to be the next senator from the state of Utah. He made a good choice moving from Massachusetts to Utah. Good for him. Yeah, kind of like what the Clintons did. Did they go back to Arkansas? No, they moved to New York where she could become the next senator from New York. I'm telling you, he's trying to follow in Hillary's footsteps. But this time he's hoping that he's probably going to. I don't know. Will we see Romney run in 2020 or 2024? Well, we'll have to wait and see. But he's a male Hillary.
Hello, America. It's me, your history. I remember a time when we thumbed our nose in a king's face, sent him packing. And when fascists and emperors talked a little bit too loud, we showed up, tore their cities to the ground, and then rebuilt them just to prove we could. We put men on the moon, we won a Cold War, and we elected fearless leaders who led fearless people. What the hell happened to you, America? Back in my day, we didn't elect a big-eared community organizer. We punched him in the kidney. Maybe it's time you came home, America. Home where you belong.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 800-595-2614 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 595-2614 to take your call now. Call 800-595-2614. That's 800-595-2614. Again, 800-595-2614.
We've all heard of male enhancement, but now there's an expert on true male enhancement in the areas that really count. In Herb Ellis's book, Husband 2.0, Real Male Enhancement, you'll find answers to questions like, why doesn't she want to have sex? A quick start, quick results workout guide, plus what you can do as a side hustle to make money now. With all the great tips in this book, every man can benefit. Get the book, Husband 2.0, Real Male Enhancement, on Amazon.com.
It started with a knock, but it wouldn't end there. What happens in the story next, many wouldn't understand, and most wouldn't believe. 5+2=Perfection by Samuel Rosett Jr. is a must-read. The scriptures within are reminders of the ancient past, and yet intriguingly infuses with texts which stand on the edge of the stage of relevancy. Available online at Westbow Press, Amazon, Books A Million, Barnes & Noble, and SamuelRosetteJr.com.
Today, there's a beer for everyone.
Hey, me and the guys are going out for a beer. You want
to
come along?
Nah, I got a lot of data to enter into the computer tonight.
Now, there's a brew for the future.
I'm going to bring you something back?
Thanks, but I got some right here.
Microsoft Brew.
You got a beer tap on your computer?
With a head so thick, you can float a mouse on it.
Let me get this straight. You make your own beer with the computer?
With the right software, you can do anything.
Microsoft Brew.
Here, I call this one Windows 95.
I don't know. It leaves a bad taste in my mouth.
And if you got to get there quicker, try the new ISDN malt liquor.
It was just another quiet Saturday at the Johnson home.
Honey, have you seen the hammer?
It's in the garage.
Oh, no, not the garage.
Later that same day...
Dad, I can't find the bicycle pump.
Son, I'm afraid it's in the garage.
The garage?
Then the following Tuesday...
Howard, where's the car?
It's in the garage.
Does your garage look like a giant yard sale without the yard? Do you cringe at the thought of entering your garage? Then you need Crest Garage Cabinets. With one phone call, those wonderful folks at Crest will come out to your home, design the best combination of cabinets for you, and install them quickly and professionally before your very eyes.
It's a miracle.
And unlike other companies who ask for a down payment or money up front, you won't pay a penny until your Crest cabinets are installed to your satisfaction. So call Crest today, toll-free at 1-800-548-2848. That's 1-800-548-2848. And you'll never fear going into your garage again.
Here at Tide, we want to revolutionize the taste, texture, and look of your everyday laundry detergent snack. We've mixed three different definitely non-toxic chemicals together in one package of dumb American, well, food. The chemicals work together to give your taste buds a deep cleaning of pure refreshment and whatever else this piece of tastes like. You know, I would prefer some pizza rolls, but I guess everyone else in America is eating these. Just listen to this lady we're about to cut to.
Do you try to make an after-school snack for your kids every day, but you just suck at cooking, or you're broke so you can't buy food? Well, there's a cheap alternative.
Fun fact, Tide Pods prevent cancer.
And once you're done eating that garbage, you just close the lid and put it back in the shelf, even though you're going to take it down again in 0.27 seconds because they're so good.
Tide Pods. I'm loving it.
The most politically incorrect black man in America. You're listening to The Rod Eccles Show.
And we're still here. In spite, we've got Thunder Boomers starting here in the Granite State. And just before the rain started, it is now starting to rain, but just before the rain started, it was dead calm out there. I mean, the leaves and you look at the trees, they were not moving. And I've always been told when you get dead calm before the storm, that means the storm's going to be badass and you're probably in some trouble. So hopefully we'll keep the power on as well as the internet service going today, because here comes the rain and now here comes the wind. Along with the actual, because I didn't see the lightning before. Didn't see the flashes. All I did was hear the sound, the rumbling. And now the wind and the visual flashes are here. So we'll see how long... see how long all that stuff stays up, because we have a terrible habit in this part of the country. I don't know about where you are, but even it seems like every time there's a thunderstorm here, the internet goes out. Even if it's just like, you know, a 60-second disruption, our internet goes out. I have no idea. There's no storm, no lines go down, and we lose. I don't know why. You know, who do we have? Xfinity, which is Comcast. Yeah, I'm not a huge fan. We'll see. We'll see if we can stay online. I already had troubles this morning getting on here, and my good super fan and super friend Dom has been making fun of me because of it, but now he knows the real deal. But I'll get you back, Dom. Don't worry about it. Anyway, hey, we've got this. What is going on? Do I have a Thunder Buddy? What's a Thunder Buddy? And somebody was asking, I don't, what's a Thunder Buddy? any case, I'll figure that one out. Speaking of, as we're getting into this whole narrative about the liberal left going absolutely, totally nutso bonkers, what we've got now is something that is going to cause the left to hate Donald Trump even more. I don't know if that's possible. Well, I suppose it is possible, but because they already hate him enough. But can you imagine that this headline is going to send them over the edge? From the Washington Examiner, National Guard deployment on the border led to more than 10,000 arrests of illegal immigrants. So says the CBP, the Customs and Border Protection Service. National Guard. Can you imagine now if we don't have to have our military soldiers deployed all over the planet and we bring them home to bases at home, we can deploy them on the border, which is completely constitutional, by the way. I know some people are saying as long as we're not housing the military, forcing civilians to house military personnel along the route, we can set up bases on the border and use the military. And military could be, they do, they already protect our borders on sea. You know, you've got the Navy and Coast Guard. Well, I know Coast Guard is not really military. They're part of Homeland Security, but that's irrelevant. They should be a part of the Department of Defense. But in any case, it wouldn't be unconstitutional for them to be deployed up on the border. It's not cops. They're not really cops. But in any case, so we've got National Guard deployment led to more than 10,000 arrests on the southern border with Mexico, and of course, you know, this is gonna have the liberal left all up in arms. They're gonna freak out about this. But CNN has got another story, a companion story that goes along with this. A judge reminds officials of stakes of family separation and pauses deportation of families that have been reunited with their little chillin. Yet dozens, if not hundreds, of parents separated from the children at the border may have already been deported, says CNN. A federal judge said on Monday that at least for now, more couldn't join them. A San Diego-based U.S. District Judge Dana Sabraw ordered the U.S. government to temporarily pause deportations of reunited families to allow attorneys time to debate whether he should more permanently extend that order. The judge cannot, by the way. The judge has no constitutional authority on what the executive branch does on the border when it comes to protecting the borders of the United States. That is in the Constitution. That job belongs to the executive branch. Congress can make laws as it regards to that, but the executive branch is responsible for the safety and security of the United States of America, its Constitution, and its citizens. A judge cannot, especially a lower court judge, cannot interfere with that. I don't know how many times I have told Donald Trump that on these types of orders, he needs to ignore the judges. He needs to be sure that the judiciary is put in their proper place. This is one of those times. They do not get to dictate what the Constitution says that the president can do. Now, a judge cannot order the borders to be open. And a judge cannot order the borders to be closed. I don't care. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who the president is, and it doesn't matter, you know, who the judge is. The Constitution doesn't give him that power. And for them to sit there and think that they have the power, well, you know, I'm going to disissue an order and we're going to stop the federal government from doing its constitutional job and enforcing the law. Do you realize that a judge sitting in California is telling the entire federal government that they can't enforce the law? The law says if you do this, this certain thing, we can evict you or basically deport you. And a judge is saying, no, I know that's the law, but, you know, I'm setting aside the law. I'm sorry, is the law constitutional? Yeah, then you can't stop it. That's not your job. That is not your constitutional duty or purveyance. Congress has to change the law. If the law is constitutional, a court can't change it. They can't amend it. They can't do anything to it. They can't halt it. They can't stop it. They can't order it be enforced or what have you. That's not their job. And this is another one of those things that Trump needs to ignore. I know some people are saying, well, no, Rod, he needs to take it to the Supreme Court. No, he doesn't. We got to stop this nonsense. Because that means if they want to do something to slow down a president they don't like, is just start issuing all these rulings. And that president is going to say, well, we'll just take it to the Supreme Court. They might lose. But the reality is that they don't have the authority to do so in the first place. Therefore, if it is an unconstitutional order, the president has a moral and legal obligation and constitutional obligation to ignore such an order. If a judge does not have the power to issue a certain order, nobody has to obey it. I mean, think about it. A judge issues an order that says, you know, this media outlet can't print newspapers anymore. Says who? They have a constitutionally protected, ability to do so. Oh, well, we'll just take that case to the Supreme Court. No, you don't take it to the Supreme Court. You just ignore it. Because it's an unconstitutional order. You have the moral and legal obligation to do so. Well, you could get in trouble, Rod. Really? Are you going to get in trouble for? Well, yeah, I guess you can get in a little bit of trouble from liberals if you ignore a judge and just follow the Constitution. I get it. And they're already pressing down, Rod, on trying to impeach the president. What if he ignores it and they call it an impeachable offense? They're going to call it an impeachable offense anyway. But when you have a Congress and a Supreme Court that says, what the hell are you doing? Which is what they should be doing when it comes to this stuff. And we the people should be saying, what the hell are you doing? You know, a lot of people say that, well, you know, a lot of these judges are appointed and they're unaccountable. Oh, no, they're fully accountable. Do you know judges can be impeached? And by impeaching a judge and then convicting of that impeachment, they can be removed from office. And they don't have to. Look, when it comes to impeaching people who are appointed, all it is just a way for Congress to fire them. And yes, Congress, if Congress has set forth or there is the ability of oversight of Congress, and Congress does have oversight over the judiciary, just as the judiciary has oversight over Congress when it comes to constitutional stuff. The president can nominate to appoint a judge to a federal bench, and Congress gets to approve them or not. That's the advice and consent. And so if a judge does something that should require him being he or she being fired, Congress can do that by impeachment. By the way, the president can ask for a judge's resignation, but he can't fire them. Do you realize that? Do you realize the only body in our Constitution that has the power to fire a judge is Congress through impeachment? That includes the Supreme Court. So, yeah, the people do have a say by electing those people who are willing to uphold the law and the Constitution and to be willing to get rid of and impeach judges who illegally try to subvert the Constitution. And frankly, if you issue orders that subvert the Constitution, that's sedition in my book. It's not treason, sedition. And I think it's about time that we started actually thinking about that and defining things like that and actually moving forward with issues like that. If you've got a liberal, I don't care if the judge is liberal or conservative, if you've got a judge on the bench, any bench, who consistently tries to subvert the Constitution of the United States of America, that is sedition and they need to be removed. Plain and simple. And if necessary, if they go too far, they need to be brought up on charges and go through the legal process. You're not, because you're a judge, you're not untouchable. I'm getting sick and tired of these people that get appointed to some of these offices that think that they're untouchable. Rod Rosenstein should be fired. Plain and simple. Just like Comey was fired, Rod Rosenstein should be fired. Peter Strzok should be fired. Just like McCabe was fired. It's not these people can't be, they should be. And for whatever reason, they're not. I don't know why. This is just stupid. I don't know how you fire McCabe, but not Rosenstein. I don't know how you fire, I don't know how you fire Comey, but not Rosenstein. And I don't know how you fire McCabe, but not Strzok. He should be gone as well. Not demoted or changed to a different position. He should be demoted. Or fired, not just demoted. And look, you know what? I'm sure McCabe's lawyers are probably thinking, well, look, you know, you fired McCabe, but you didn't fire Strzok. And he did worse than McCabe, probably. Yeah, I don't know. Really, he did. If anything, there is a good case for sedition on the Strzok case. I mean, honestly, not saying that he's guilty of sedition, but there's a very strong case for it. Probably more so than McCabe. But in any case, so you have a judge out there saying that, well, you know, you can't deport reunited families now. Well, because this judge is saying, well, this gives attorneys time to debate whether they should be more permanently extend the order based on civil liberties, because a lot of these people are asking for political asylum, it is time that we change the political asylum laws. And it should be that right now, the only way that you can get, really, I think, and I could be mistaken with this, but I thought that the only way you could honestly, actually, legally utilize a request for political asylum is you had to go through a legal channel. You had to go to a legal port of entry or a legal consulate or embassy. You couldn't just break into the United States and then when you get caught, say, oh, I want asylum. I don't think that. I think the only people that were allowed to do that was it the wet foot, dry foot Cubans? If you made it on dry land, then you could call for a political asylum. And the reason is because we didn't have, diplomatic relations with Cuba for a long period of time, so there was no way that Cubans could go to a consulate or embassy because we didn't have one. So if they were willing to make the 90-mile or so trek across the Caribbean, then and they got here and they could make it on dry land. Now, I never fully understood the wet foot, dry foot. In some cases, if the tide's pretty low, is that land dry or is it still wet? But anyways, if you can get 1 foot on dry land, and of course if you got waves, I don't know. Sometimes it's dry and sometimes it's not. I suppose I don't know. But if you made it, the wet foot, dry foot thing, if you made it to dry land, then you could be taken into custody, but you'd also be able to have the ability to request political asylum. But Cuba was the only country that was given that type of exemption, as far as I know. Now, if somebody out there in the immigration realm knows the law better than I do, which is any immigration lawyer, then fine, they can correct me on it. But if I understand it correctly, Cubans were the only ones that were given that type of exemption. Everybody else has to go follow the legal process by trying to enter the country legally. You don't get to claim asylum by illegally crossing our border. So this whole, again, if you come here illegally, then you're subject to deportation, and that deportation could be immediate. You're not guaranteed a day in court. And this zero tolerance thing, that's the way the law is written. If you get caught trying to cross the border illegally, then you're breaking a law, and you're going to go to court. And if you're convicted of it, then most likely you're going to get deported. Well, there was a bill. I don't know how far this bill is going to get, but there was a bill introduced in the House that wanted to change crossing, breaking our immigration laws and crossing the border illegally into a felony. Turning into a felony, which then means that you've got some major issues, and if you get convicted of it and you get deported, you'll be a convicted felon, which means you can't legally re-enter the United States ever again. I'm all for that. And it should be the fact of anybody who is currently in the USA illegally, if they get caught and they're convicted of this felony, they get deported and they can never come back. You're going to see a lot of people, again, voluntarily self-deporting themselves. And you don't need the National Guard, and the Army can be on the ground on the border protecting it. But hey, I like the idea. If you want to get rid of ICE, just fold ICE into the U.S. Marshals Service and send them out. With all the former ICE agents now being deputy marshals and taking the budget of the ICE agency and folding it into the marshal agency and send them out looking for the fugitives. Because that's exactly what you are. If you don't show up to court, you're a fugitive. If you're a fugitive from justice. If you break into our country illegally, crossing the border illegally, you're now a fugitive. You broke the law. You're a fugitive from and we should send out the marshal service. Get all the marshals and deputy marshals out there and start taking these people down. Trust me, I'm sure that the Border Patrol Agency and ICE and such would love that, because it would eliminate that 100 miles from the border limitation that Border Patrol has. So hand over border security to the United States military, the Army, Department of Defense, where it should be. You take all the ICE agents and Border Patrol agents, you fold them into the Marshals Service, you take the budgets from those departments or agencies and fold them into the Marshals Service. You've specially trained all marshal agents, deputy marshals and marshals, in order to uphold the laws of and find these criminals that are illegal immigrants. And along with other criminal fugitives, you send them out there hunting. Send them, we can make movies of it. Like Tommy Lee Jones and U.S. Marshals. I'm sure they'd make more movies about him. U.S. Marshals always gets their man or woman or child. Yeah, they should probably gather up and round up all these DACA kids, too, who aren't kids anymore, by the way. I know, look at the children. Well, these DACA recipients, they're all adults. They have been told what the rules are surrounding DACA, and many of them choose not to follow the rules still. Find them, catch them, deport them. I don't know how many other countries around the world do this for people. We make special rules for people who've already broken the law, and they still don't follow the new rules, and yet we're supposed to just set them aside and say, oh, no, just let them stay anyway. No. They broke the rules, first of all. Sure, they may have been too young to be able to make the decision on their own. Their parents brought them here, but they still broke the rules. And then we made special rules just for them, and they still broke those rules. And they expect to stay. No, get the hell out. Send them away. I don't know what's more to say. So we've got our wonderful, we've got the wonderful National Guard on the border. So yeah, we should. By the way, I didn't come up with that idea. Turning ICE into federal marshals. I'm just upping the ante and saying taking ICE and Border Patrol. If our National Guard can help seize 10,000 illegals crossing the border, just put the Army on the border. They'll do a good job of keeping the border safe, and turn all the Border Patrol and ICE agents into deputy marshals and let them loose on the entire country, and you'll see us get rid of a bunch of illegals pretty damn fast. Hell, half of them will self-deport just to prevent from being a felon.